Super Yacht Radio, making you feel good all day long.
And welcome back here on Super Yacht Radio. We are continuing our discovery with Super Yacht Foodie of some fabulous foods and drinks around the world. And my next guest is, for those of you who are vegetarian or trying to eat less meat, this is a fantastic option. Pia, lovely to have you join us.
Lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
Lovely. So can you tell us a little bit about Barta, how it began and how you came up with the concept?
Yeah, sure. Well, I was living with a friend in Stockholm and was constantly, I've always been very interested in cooking and finding new interesting stuff to cook with and experiment in the kitchen. And I was doing this and I was working a lot with the different kinds of fermentation. And my friend was at the same time going through a process of becoming a vegan from eating more or less just meats and candy. So that was quite a journey for her. And so she did a lot of online research about like what to eat, to find things that she would both enjoy and also would be nutritious. And she, of course, told me about her discoveries and she told me that also the things that I was working with, fermenting food and sprouting food was like the big best thing you could do, because then you keep all the nutrients in the food, but at the same time you get rid of the anti-nutrients that inhibits the body to actually use the vitamins and minerals in the food. So I was kind of even more excited to keep on this experimenting. And I also started then with the fermenting my sweet peas with a traditional tempeh fermentation. And the first time I tasted this result, combination of fermented sweet peas, beetroot kimchi, sprouts, rye sourdough bread, and cashew nut yogurt, it was like just too good to not to keep to myself. So more people had to try this. And that's how I started. And I started a food truck with organic vegan fermented food. And so that was in 2015. And then I made all the food from scratch in my home kitchen. So I was like working around the clock, just baking bread and everything that had to be done there. And then from that experience, I got a lot of ideas of how to make the traditional fermentation method used for tempeh even better. So I applied to the Swedish Innovation Agency. I got funding to do that. So that's how it started. So now Barta is Barta is the result from that project. So I sprout the peas, then I ferment them, and then I cook them in different ways to make a delicious and nutritious product.
Well, because it actually was something when you were talking about fermentation, it was something I discovered recently, because I think people have a growing awareness about fermentation. I think probably Asia were well ahead of us on this one.
Yeah.
Although we had our own, sort of sauerkraut versions, but not really. But recently I was talking with a friend who's a nutritionist, and, everyone talks about probiotics being really important. But she was saying, actually, probiotics, they're the healthy bacteria in our gut, but they need food. So if you just take probiotics, but you don't have the right food for those bacteria to feed on, it actually can work on your gut and break down the layers a bit. It's really important to have the prebiotics, which is the food to feed the probiotics. And I believe that's what happens in the fermentation process, is it creates this perfect food for our perfect bacteria, which, brings our food.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter how much probiotics you eat if you don't keep it alive in your stomach. And so you need to give it fiber. So that's basically what prebiotics are. And but at the same time, fibers can be hard for your body if you eat too much of it and if it's too raw in one sense. So what you do when fermenting them, you make them more easy for your body to digest. So you still have them there, but it's not as tough as you, if you ate it raw. So it's like a cow has several different stomachs. We only have one, so we need an extra stomach outside our body to prepare the food, to digest it.
And can you explain to us about anti-nutrients? Because I think that's probably a new term for some people. You know, we think nutrients, but not anti-nutrients.
Yeah. So there are several different kinds. And like the most important for us is the phytic acid. So that's compounds that bind to minerals. So that means that if there are too much of this acid in the food we eat, it won't help that there's iron in the food. We won't be able to absorb it. So it can cause malnutrition if you get too much of it and if you don't have a balanced diet. And it's really tricky because it doesn't really say on the ingredients. You don't have to say if the iron or the magnesium or whatever it is, if it's bioavailable. So it's something like that you have to be aware of yourself. But I think, as you said, that the awareness is growing now, especially when people are eating more plant-based food. They need to be more aware of this, that the minerals they eat are actually bioavailable.
Just on the planet side as well, it was one of the interesting facts you have on your website. I have in my family many vegetarians. One of the big reasons for my children is the ethical, ecological side. One of the cool facts was looking at, for example, your pea protein in comparison to beef as a carbon footprint. It's about 100 times less than beef and 50 times less than cheese. So as a imprint, that's sizable.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's really a lot. And even our products are even low compared to other vegetarian or vegan products because we use a whole pea. So most products today are used from some kind of extraction so that you only get the protein or from the pea or the soybean or whatever it is. But we actually keep the whole pea. So we have all the nutrients there. We have all the fibers, minerals there. And we don't throw anything away. So that makes our carbon footprint even lower.
Right. And it's still the whole grain, but
exactly
broken to, not broken, but transformed into a more digestible form for us.
Yeah, exactly. More digestible and more delicious. So it also creates new flavors when you sprout it and also when you ferment it. So it doesn't taste like a pea. Even if you can feel that it's still there.
Part of that kind of ecological package is that you don't add in additives or preservatives or, you know, the extra, because that's also my problem when I'm looking sometimes at vegetarian options and you read through the ingredients. When you read through them, you're like, oh my God, why does there have to be so much in this? Obviously, when you started in your own kitchen, you were doing it from scratch, but that you've managed to produce a product that kind of keeps that same ethos.
Yeah, so that was also the goal in the product development, to create something that people couldn't say, well, it's good, but it's like there shouldn't be any buts. Like, this is just pure good. It shouldn't be organic. It should be like with Swedish ingredients, no additives. Tastes good, the whole pea there, but still bioavailable. Like all these things, it had to combine all these things. So that's always been the goal. And to be honest, I wouldn't know how to use additives since I'm not a researcher or I'm a music teacher.
You cook from scratch.
and you don't need them. You just test the product and see if they are safe. You just make sure it tastes good anyway.
Wonderful. And so the options for those who are, you know, looking either directly from you or through Soup Yacht Foodie, I actually love some of the options. I also love the picture on your website because I had lived in Sweden in my teenage years. Got this lovely kind of young people by the lakes, which makes me think of Swedish summer times.
Swedish.
It had a lovely feeling to it. But you've got some really interesting kind of different flavor options. It's not just like what we call at home fake chicken, and also how you use it, because that's the other thing. For example, tempeh can be handy, but sometimes you're like, what am I meant to do with this?
Yeah. So that's, well, it's never been the goal to create a product that is like equal to chicken or fish or beef or whatever. So it's always like, okay, this is my base. I have this pea. What can I do with it? How does it taste the best? So that's always been the goal. And then some people might say, okay, this tastes like chicken. Okay. And then that's their opinion, but it's never been like the a goal to make it to taste like that. And then it's also like the point with the recipes on the website is really what you say, to just inspire what you can do with the product, because it's easy when you look at a category that you think it's only for Asian food or for only for this. And so that I really in my kitchen still test everything, and if it's good, I will put it on the website, and more people can try it that way, or just be inspired of it and then do their own thing.
Brilliant. And you have, if I'm right, kind of three main, you have patty, and then there's something with chili and lime, which sounds lovely. I'm going to say bitar, but I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah.
and then the last one was halibut raw. So are they different textures, or how did you kind of, or are they different ways to use them?
Yeah, they're actually, we have 8 products now, so I don't think we have them all in English. So that's, I have to.
Well, that might be it. I was looking at the English class.
But yeah, so the juice is Dutch. It's different how you use them, or what's like the easiest way to use them. So the burger, of course, is a burger patty. That's easy. And the chili lime chunks is for Asian food or for barbecue. They're great on the grill. And then we have the plain bata, that is just for, you can do whatever you want with it. So that's basically what we have from the beginning. And then you do the flavoring or
you use it as
into pieces or mince or whatever you do. Yeah.
Right.
Or you can cook it whole, like just on the grill as well. And then we also have cold cuts now. So we have smoked sandwich toppings as well. And they actually are kind of the most growing product in our catalog right now. Yeah,
food on the go.
Exactly. Yeah.
Lovely. Well, Pia, if people want to find out more about Barta, where they can find it through Supiya Foodie if you're on board. But if they want to find out more, where's your website?
Well, it's easiest to just go to barta.se.
Okay.
Then you'll find it there.
Can I add in? I do love that there's also a Swedish Temptations, which is, and I love that too, because actually in the end, it was actually very much true to what you're offering.
Food. So that's the company name. So Barta is the brand, and Swedish Temptations is the name of the company.
Wonderful. Well, Pia, thank you so much for joining me today. This is one that I wish you exported to Dublin, but I will have to wait for the next time I get a chance to have it.
We'll work on it.
If you want to find out more, you can always contact as well through Supiya Foodie, and they'll put you in touch with Pia.
You are listening to Super Yacht Radio.
Does provisioning make you moody? Well, look no further than Super Yacht Foodie. We source and test the finest food and drink, so when you order, you don't have to think. Check out the Super Yacht Foodie Instagram feed if gourmet inspiration is what you need. We don't sell the products directly to you. We work with all the provisioners you already knew. Contact your favourite provisioner or agent if you want the finest ingredients sent. We will connect you with the suppliers directly, who will fulfil your orders 100% correctly. Email info@superyachtfoodie.com if you want to know where the best ingredients are from. Follow Super Yacht Foodie on Insta and Facebook, and tag us to share the exquisite meals you cook. Super Yacht Foodie, rediscover your passion for provisioning.
This is Super Yacht Radio.